don't help people who aren't trying.
It feels like you're just going in life and you're trying and you're trying, and then it's just like, am I doing enough?
Sounds to me like you're cleaning the garden.
Willingness to do the work. Prince has a song like that. Are you willing to do the work? Yeah.
Don't talk to people who are stifling their own lives and would rather you did to make them comfortable. A disciplined dog is a happy dog.
Oh, yeah. I go into a state of a lockdown when I try to look at things that are not right in front of me.
The key is to avoid judgment when you're dealing with other people. And if they can't take that honesty and they leave your life, they're leaving somebody they shouldn't be with in the first place.
Welcome back to our show featuring us. I'm Laferne Cusack.
I'm Bill Burns, coming to you today, Bill. By the way, from snowy New Hampshire.
Oh, my gosh. How are you making
18,
it? I know it's not
18
sunny
plus
California.
No.
Wow.
Not at all.
That's crazy.
I'm making it, you know. I'm looking out, watching people shovel it. I'm good at that.
You're like, yeah, it looks cold out there. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm good at watching it, though.
Yeah. That's
so good. So what do we have on tap today?
We're going to have some callers calling in a little bit later. I know one lady's going through some issues with her job. Another young lady is just figuring out her path. And I have a gentleman calling in shortly. He wanted to talk to us and get some insights on a couple of things. But this week has been really crazy for me. Well, crazy, crazy good. You know how a lot of times we talk about how we can share ourselves. I was like, well, how can you be sure that you are sharing yourselves with the right people? You know, it's like, oh, man, I made that a mistake again with that friend, even though I saw, like, things that were happening, and I just chose to ignore them and the reality of it. So I think I lost a couple friends this week, Bill.
It sounds to me like you're cleaning the garden. You know,
yeah.
It's my experience that if there's anyone in your life for whom you need to make rationalizations, justifications, explanations, apologies, you're probably barking up the wrong tree. Friends that belong in your life are people that have a give and take relationship with you, and the things they do fit who you are as yours fit them. If you have to make excuses for people, or, oh, they probably just weren't feeling well, or, oh, you know, I know he was just upset, or then there's something wrong with the relationship. See, because then people in my life, if they're going through something like that, they feel free to tell me, not act like jerks.
Stop acting like a jerk or get out of my life, right?
Yeah, get over yourself.
What about you? What's been happening with you? Yeah.
Well, I've been here in New Hampshire, and it's very busy. And this is the second big snowstorm. And, you know, I stand here overlooking the Fisher Cats ballpark and thinking, wow, there are a lot of people out there, and I'm so glad I'm able to reach some of them here. One-on-one, do you know what I mean?
Right.
I love that we do it on the radio, but, you know, it's also wonderful to touch people one-on-one.
Yeah, absolutely. We have our first caller on the line.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill.
Hi,
hey, Bill.
Hi.
Welcome to our show.
Well, thank you. I love listening to it. I was wondering, I'm a dad. I have a four-year-old boy, and he's having trouble going to bed. He doesn't want to, obviously, but I'm having a little trouble feeling like I may be coming down a bit too hard. I'm afraid that my energy gets a little scary to him. I don't want to be intimidating, and I don't want to be the angry dad. So I'm wondering what there's got to be a fine line where I'm assertive enough to get his attention, but not to the point where he feels afraid or devalued in some way.
Well, is it possible to talk to him about why he doesn't want to go to bed?
To some degree, but he's
because
basically,
if it gives you just an opening, you can use that as a lever as to why he has to and why his reasons for staying up.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, he it seems to be that he's just really enjoying his day and he doesn't want it to end. And
yeah, well, then there's not much you can do except to say, sorry, honey, but this is it.
Yeah. Sounds like he's just being a boy, right?
Yeah, you just
being a boy.
Yeah, don't worry about intimidating him if you're not yelling.
Okay.
And if you want to yell, take a deep breath and yell in your head. And then, you know, just be firm, fair, and direct.
Okay, okay.
Because ultimately he'll give up.
Yeah, yeah. He, you know, he'll resort to crying and tantrums mm-hmm. and things like that, as is normal, of course. But
right. But just sorry, dude, you know?
Okay.
But the key is to remember when you were and didn't want to go to bed.
Yeah.
And, you know, that firm, fair, direct, sorry, but this is the way it is. And if you'd like to cry, feel free to do that. But you're going to do it in bed because you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And in a way, it's really him looking for reassurance for going to bed as well. He wants a good reason to interrupt what he's doing and to feel that it's okay to let that down.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Hmm. So, so yeah, it's a combination. But as long as you don't raise your voice, you're not going to scare.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I mean, I was much, much worse than he is now when I was his age.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And there were two of us, two boys, in the same room. Neither one of us wanted to do anything that my parents wanted us to do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we'll see how much better you've gotten.
Now I go to bed quite nicely.
Yeah, and he will too.
Yeah.
It's just surviving the transition.
Yeah.
Well, my pleasure. I love your show. Thanks for the advice. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks for the call. A lot of people go through a lot of difficulties with kids trying to, you know, feel like they're doing the right thing. And what is the right thing? You know, it's like you don't want to raise your children the way your parents raised you, you know, maybe, or out of fear, but you have to just let go with the flow of it and know you're doing the right thing.
Right. You know, this sounds very crude. And of course, I'm going to be crude because it's me. but a disciplined dog is a happy dog. Children are in the process of learning boundaries. They're in the process of learning what they can get away with and what they cannot get away with. We've been plagued with helicopter parents. That if you look at the child wrong, they want to call Child Protective Services. And I think parents have perhaps gotten scared that they're wrong without knowing they're wrong. And that isn't true. I would do just a general rule of thumb. If you're not yelling, if you're firm, fair, and direct, and you refuse to buy into explanations on their part or wheedling or manipulation, then you're doing them the favor that will help them grow up earning what they get. If they can get away with not going to bed by manipulation, they're eventually going to try to get a job by manipulation and get out of responsibility by manipulation, et cetera.
Right.
So I think better to err on the side of being strong than on the side of these helicopter freaks. I mean, people.
Yes. We have another caller on the line. Who are we speaking with today?
Hi, this is Dawn.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Dawn. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
What question do you have for us today?
So, first of all, thanks so much for the show. It's been really awesome listening to you guys. And I have pretty much walked away from a very traditional career to pursue a tech startup. And it's been really great, but it's also been really challenging. And I've had a lot of really difficult situations with people in the process and just trying to understand maybe some things that I can focus on to maybe trust that I'm in the right space and that I'm moving in the right direction, even though it's been difficult and there have been a lot of kind of negative energies, or maybe if I should kind of cut my losses in this process.
Let me just ask you a question, if I may.
Yep.
The people you're having difficulty with, the people you're working with, or the people in your life?
Yeah, so in order, people in my life, so in order to support and kind of pay for the things that I need to do, it's I've just had to work with a variety of people who have been not paying on time or not just kind of doing the things that they need to do in order to make the process a bit easier.
No, I understand. That's part of my many startups, and you know, you win most of them, but you don't win them all. But I'd rather get back to the other issue. People's response to the things you do. You can never believe criticism because it's their attempt to make you comfortable for them. They're not necessarily interested in what's best for you, whatever they say. They just don't like that what you're doing is making them uncomfortable, and they wish you'd stop it. So if you have difficulties and you want to share with these people, because it's hard to carry those things alone, then pick people who are supportive and encouraging and doing the similar things to what you're doing.
Right.
Because you're not wrong. And you have a right at this time in your life to branch out and, you know, really experiment and try, because you're a methodical kind of person in a lot of ways, and you've checked this out in a lot of different directions. You're just not used to flying without rails, so to speak.
Right.
And I think you're right on track. But if you're going to talk to people that went out on their own. Don't talk to people who are stifling their own lives and would rather you did to make them comfortable.
Yeah.
And,
awesome.
You know, and I don't see anything but moving forward. When did you start your company?
I had the idea about 2 years ago and have been aggressively working at it for about that time.
Oh, good. Then you've only got to be a year and a half before you're totally in the black and happy and thrilled.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it'll get better as you go. You don't have to wait a year and a half. But you know, it takes about 3 years for the tide to turn with a new business like yours. And you're having to learn to be self-assertive and self-promoting, which don't come to you naturally. And you're doing very well with that. And a little bit of hunger really is the prod to maybe go out there and do something that you're not really comfortable with, like buy my product. Do it. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So it's really there to help spur you on.
I see. I see.
I really think you're in the right place.
It's good, because sometimes you really just want to give up, because it's hard. And when no one else kind of sees the vision and you see it so clearly, you really just want to walk away from it. It's frustrating.
You know, I totally understand. I was an Irish, Italian, Boston Catholic boy who wound up being a psychic. And nobody would help. And I understand that.
Yeah.
And you know, coming from that traditional business, where you had a lot of reinforcement to stifle your creativity, it makes it even more difficult now to trust that it's okay to be who you want to be and to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
But I think, as I said, you're on the right track, and I think it's going to be successful. And try to make some networking friends with people in small businesses or in, you know, the business groups within your town, so that you have people to talk to who have taken that same risk.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, it doesn't have to be in the same field.
Yeah.
Because everybody that starts out on their own goes through a lot of this, and some of them will have good suggestions, but none of them will think you're crazy. Isn't that nice?
Right. Right. For sure. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you, Don, for calling in. Thanks for calling in,
Thank you, guys, so much.
And now we have another caller on the line with us. Who's on with us?
Gabby.
Hi, Gabby. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
What question do you have for us today?
I was mostly wondering about purpose. I know, I strongly feel that I'm here to be of service, but I'm not really sure how. I mean, that's very broad, you know, what exactly I can be doing to fulfill that.
Well, first of all, I think you have to trust the fact that your good intentions and your willingness to reach out and your willingness to be there for people is being of service initially, that on a day-to-day basis, you are being of service. Then you have to look at the things that you really enjoy doing that also allow you to share those with other people. Because if you're not really happy and enjoying what you're doing, being of service will only drain you.
Right.
You see what I mean? So I think you were raised in a background that didn't allow you to really take your needs into account. And part of your learning lesson at this point is to learn to do things that make you happy, not by making other people happy, but by making you happy. Because you're the kind of person that when you're happy, you share it automatically. You see what I mean?
Yes.
And so now you have to take this step and say, no, it's not being selfish. No, it's not being escapist. Being happy means I'm doing something I'll be really good at. And the more you can enjoy what you're doing, the less draining it is and the more of a contribution it is to other people. Because, you know, later on you have a second lesson to learn, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, don't help people who aren't trying.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to say no.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to send a client away the other day because it became clear that she was so in love with blaming her upbringing and her family that she wasn't even willing to take any responsibility. And I wasn't going to waste her money or my time. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not being mean. It's taking care of you. And I think that's one of the things that people who help other people have to put more firmly in the forefront of their mind.
If you're not being fed by what learning lesson.
Yeah, if you're not being fed by what you're doing, then nobody's ultimately being fed. And the more tired and drained you get, the more you rely on advice rather than experience and insight.
What do you like doing, Gabby?
I like having fun. I like being with people. I like learning new things. You know, I like anything having to do with energy healing, you know, being creative.
Have you taken a Reiki course?
I have. I have my level 2 certification.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm wanting to learn other forms of energy healing and get into that. I'm thinking about going back to school, a degree in depth psychology. I'm not sure if that's the right way to go yet. What do you think about that?
What psychology?
It's called depth psychology.
Yeah. It's fine. I think you would do a better job if you went to coaching.
Coaching. Okay.
Yeah, helping people fulfill themselves and become better at what they do.
Yeah.
And that's not as long a course. But
that's
it's not as long a course as the other one.
Right.
And the issue is that a lot of the basic principles of psychotherapy you're not going to be happy with.
Got it.
Because they tend to categorize people and lump them, group them, and you're not good at them.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that's good either. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So where being a coach allows you to see where they're going and help them get there more effectively, and you'd be great at that.
Right. Okay. That feels good.
So, I mean, you can investigate it. You know, you can just, you know, talk to some guidance counselors and colleges that teach coaching. And, you know, you can get an idea of what area and because you can do spiritual coaching.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Sure. And you can even combine it with Reiki.
Yeah. I would love that.
So I would look more in that direction than traditional ones.
Okay.
Because you love being creative, and it's not fun to try to stay on a script. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's not. It is
as
not.
As we prove on each show,
it's
no good having a script.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm so glad that you called in. And really, I encourage you, it may take a little more effort in discovery, but it'll pay off big time in terms of pleasure and fulfillment.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, you're a perfect example of people who took risks.
Oh, my gosh. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like, you know, you're just going in life and you're trying and then it's just like, am I doing enough and where should I go from here?
On the show.
Exactly.
Right. And
I mean,
you have other risks that you've discovered that you're going to move toward, you know, getting more on your own and doing more of your own creative stuff. And that is a risk. And I think, and for our listeners, I'd like to point out that romance of the familiar is probably the most dangerous condition that any of us face who are trying to do new things or things with ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because even if we don't like where we are, our idea is at least to know how to handle it. And if I change it, then what will I do? Without realizing that life is about learning by trial and error. And if you want to branch out in a new direction, just start the trial and error and you'll have a great time.
Yes, yes. I was thinking about this the past few weeks and I just started having fun and it feels so good. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't felt this for a long time. Yeah.
Right, exactly. We have a tendency to make people more important in our lives than they should be.
Mm,
I mean,
yes,
I've done it too. You know, I think we've all done it.
Yeah.
There have been times I've made the client more important, was afraid to give them the information I was getting, the fear I'd upset them.
Oh.
And at one point, Spirit said, what do you think your job is? Of course you're going to upset them.
Yes.
At least enjoy doing it in a way where they're not defensive, but feel supported and encouraged and get the insight. Well, I mean, that's just, you know, when I started to enjoy doing what I do. It wasn't a test of me. It was a chance to participate and help.
Yeah, but some of that is also you're not familiar with that feeling. Like, you know, I was telling you how me and my husband lost a few friends this past week, and the way we approached them with a situation, they felt that we didn't do it properly and that we're non-supportive. And it's like, I came to you in love and you chose to choose this way. And it's like, well, I saw the signs a long time ago, but I chose to ignore it.
Yes, we started that. You know, and I understand I've done it myself.
Yeah.
Recently, you know, because we keep learning.
But how do you, as Bill Burns, how do you get through that uncomfortableness of, oh, well, this person is angry with me, even though I came to them in love?
Two words. Oh, well.
But that helps you internally?
Yeah, because you have to understand that their reaction is their business. How they react to a situation is their issue, not mine. And if they choose to misinterpret it, or if they choose to be offended or upset, then that's really their issue. You know, I think something people don't really understand, and I don't mean to say you can't be charitable or understanding, but what people don't understand is that when you bring somebody into your life, without any help from you, they decide who you are and what they expect from you and how they want you to be. And from that point on, every interaction that you have with them is them trying to get you to be what they want you to be or what they see you to be.
Wow.
And that's why advice is never useful, because it's nothing more than an attempt to make you into what they want. If you want to know something from a person, ask them what their experience is.
Yes.
Because experience isn't emotionally based. But when somebody turns their back on me, I just have to say, poor you.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, it's not easy. It's part of the learning lesson of standing up for you and believing in you. But it's a critical learning lesson.
It is.
Particularly if they're in the same condo or if they're in the same neighborhood or in the same PTA group and they're mad at you and they're having a snit. You know, occasionally, if you're like me, you'll walk by and say, how's your snit going? How's it working for you?
Oh, my gosh. Would that be awesome?
Yeah, I'm having a great time. How are you doing? And, you know, because if they're not willing to share with you what their problem is and work with you to make it work, you have a perfect right to go off on what's best for you.
And
don't waste your life trying to make other people happy.
Yeah. I was saying, you know, you know how a lot of older people say, well, actually, this one older woman, she's 80 years old. She's on a row team at Berkeley, and she comes in and she is like, I don't care what you guys think whatsoever, and she just tells it like it is. I'm like, when am I going to reach that point where, you know, you just say it like it is and don't care what other people think? It's like, well, do I have to wait till I'm 80 years old to do that? You know, what is courage? What is standing up for yourself?
Well, courage is the inability to see an escape. Courage is walking through your fear. It's not an absence of fear. It's walking through your fear. And many of our listeners have far more courage than they know they have. They just have to look back at all the fear they walk through just to go to school each day. And that'll tell them how much courage they have. And as far as, you know, being able to say what you think, you can say that you can start that at any point. You just have to be smart about it. I mean, if you're working for somebody and you're going to go up to them and say, I think you're a jerk, and why, then you're probably in trouble. but the 9 most powerful words in the English language used in the sentence, I have a problem and I need your help. When you do this, this is how it makes me feel, and I know that isn't what you mean, so could you help me understand? It goes a long way.
It does. It does. I've used that in the past.
Yeah, and then if it's, you know, somebody that is just in your life, they just have to sort of work that out. You just get honest, not mean, but honest.
Right.
And if they can't take that honesty and they leave your life, they're leaving somebody they shouldn't be with in the first place because they're not adult enough to be with you. The key is to avoid judgment when you're dealing with other people. Don't judge them. You know, if that's the way you feel, fine. This doesn't agree with me. You clearly won't. No.
Oh, Bill.
I know.
I have this one listener wrote in because he says that he has no voice. And he wants to know, will he beat cancer? His name is Andy.
I'm seeing at least a 5-year reprieve. But he's going to have to be willing to accept the current situation and work around it. He has to let go of the loss for now. My feeling is, before too long, there'll be a way that he'll be able to talk in spite of the surgery. But for right now, he really needs to accept the reality of his situation, which I feel in a lot of ways he's done. I just want him to get off the feeling of being damaged and less than, and back in the swing of being the man he is. And I can see at least the 5-year remission, and I can't see beyond that because, you know, that depends on how he progresses, but certainly I see that reprieve.
Yeah, that's tough.
And as far as the cancer that caused the initial surgery, he's on the other side of that.
Oh, good. Yeah, he's saying that he has to go to a radiologist and an oncologist, and they're going to do surgery on his head. That's tough. That's so tough.
It's very tough. It's an amazing challenge. For a tumor?
Yes.
Yeah. It'll be successful.
I know that we discussed, you know, the things that come into our lives are there for a particular reason. Diseases as well, or like what Andy's going through, what other people may go through, even if it's your family member that's going through it. Why do you say that that's a learning for
because
them?
Because spirituality is not unfair. Things come into our lives from which we need to learn. Now, if Andy or any of the listeners are going through something challenging, what they really need to do is say, what am I learning from this? What is this teaching me? What am I getting from this experience? And you'll always be able to see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you start working with that, you start to feel better. It doesn't mean it's always a cure, but it's a cure for your mental state and your emotional state. Spirituality is not unfair. There's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as punishment. There's no such thing as reward. We're all learning. And sometimes as things are successful, it encourages us. And sometimes when they're challenging, it forces us to step up. But it's never just there gratuitously.
Yes.
And those of our listeners who are closely allied with a religious sect, but there's no judgment either. You know, with all the mediumship I've done and all the spirits with which I've dealt, some of whom have been pretty ugly, it's clear that there's no judgment. There's, you know, there's either willingness or unwillingness, and if you're unwilling, you're going to face the consequences of your behavior. And if you're willing, almost anything is redeemable. Second most powerful energy in the universe outside of consciousness is willingness.
Willingness to do the work. Prince has a song like that. Are you willing to do the work? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you willing to allow the change to happen? You know,
no
often in readings, I give people tools. Pardon?
No matter how difficult it is, you still have the willingness to go through it.
Well, we're back to the romance of the familiar. How insecure you are about learning new things and new directions. And the trick is to take them one step at a time and stay where your feet are. Don't look ahead to where it's going or what might happen. Just look at what you're doing to move toward what you want to do, and then just keep owning the progress you make. And then before you know it, you've achieved the whole thing. But if you start looking at outcome, you'll get overwhelmed and you'll never get it done.
Oh, yeah. I go into a state of lockdown when I try to look at things that are not right in front of me. And then I'm just lying on the couch and I can't do anything. And it's like, okay, I know this
Except
is the wrong
beautiful.
Place. Right.
Right.
Yes.
And I understand that. And we're all the same. I, as you know, I have a number of physical challenges, and Tuesday I have to drive back to Logan and fly home, and that flight is agonizing, and the only way I can make that is to focus on getting the bag in the car, getting the car to load. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And when I'm on the flight, stay in the moment. Not how much longer is it, how much more do I have to endure. What can I do right now to make myself a little more comfortable or take some of the pressure off, short of jumping out of the airplane? And
right.
Which is really frowned on. I know, they're very restrictive. It's terrible. And but, I mean, the key is not that I'm this hero, but by staying in the moment and just doing what's in front of me. And another word of advice to our listeners, coach this experience. You know, it's the learning, not the outcome that's important.
And you say that because the outcome...
The outcome's just the outcome.
Here.
You can't do anything about the outcome.
Right.
But you can do a lot about the learning. Anyone that thinks we control outcome isn't facing reality.
Yes, but...
Because nobody has control over outcome.
Yeah.
Some people who are less developed and stay very close to the norm have their lives work out as they think they would. But if you have any degree of real spiritual development or creativity, there's no way to know where it's going. You only know where you are, how well you're doing it, and how you feel about it. And that's all you need to know. It will
that's
go
all
in
you need
direction
to know.
East. Yep.
Absolutely.
And it goes in whatever direction it needs.
So, Bill, like last week we were talking about, you know, spirituality and why we deserve Trump. And we never got to talk about what's on top of your mind. Are there things that, you know, you feel that are happening that you want to address?
No, not really. I'm at that point in my life where, you know, I love what I do. I face my challenges. I'm willing to do whatever is available to take care of those challenges. Wherever possible, I try to reach out because I enjoy doing that and using what I've got. I don't have any friends, really. I have some very loyal people in my life that I love a lot, but almost everybody in my life needs me for something. So even if we go out for lunch or something, we're talking about one of their issues. But you see, my joy in what I can do and bring to them makes that fine. It's like my contribution to the friendship. So by and large, I'm living the life I want to live, being the man I want to be. But
that
it hasn't
hurts.
Come without a lot of pain and without a lot of risk and with a lot of, you know, just being out there not knowing if there's a tree attached to the branch.
Yeah, not everybody's built for that. Yeah, but
that's right.
We always talk about, you know, never give up, never give up. Like, you can be down on your luck today, but come tomorrow, you may talk to someone and your whole life can change. You know, this is just...
Well, that's true. But I think an important thing is, before you decide not to give up, make sure you like what you're doing. Because if you like what you're doing and your approach is wrong or the company is wrong or that, then absolutely stick with it. If you've gone out on your own and you're thrilled to be out on your own, just stick with it. Don't worry about the setbacks. But first, make sure you like what you're doing. Otherwise, you're going to be crunching yourself into a situation you don't belong in, and which makes you unhappy.
Well, a lot of people are doing that. I mean, I work at several different organizations, and a lot of people just are not happy. They're not happy with their job, with their employer, with the leadership, or whatever, but they still continue to go on like, well, I got to make a paycheck. This is what I got to do.
My attitude is you're unhappy with what you're doing. What are you doing about it?
Yes, me too.
You're not doing anything about it. You're just wanting to be a victim.
Yep. And there you have it.
There you have it.
So I guess that can take us into next week for, you know, what we as spiritual human beings can do is don't be a victim this week. You know, stand up for yourself. Be courageous.
Mm-hmm. And if you can't stand up for yourself at the moment, write about your upset. Write about the first step you could take at some point to change that, and you'll feel better already.
Well, thank
you go to
you,
your
Bill.
Higher power and say, give me what I need to do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bill. I know you're cold on the East Coast, but you'll be back here next week, right?
This week. I come back Tuesday.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I look forward to doing another show with you next week.
And I with you.
From
25-degree Manchester, I turn it over to whatever it is on the East Coast, the West Coast.
Yeah, it's pretty nice out here, so
you're
missing a lot, and we miss you, so.
Well, I love that. Thank you.
I want to thank everyone for tuning in for our show with us, Bill Burns.
Thank you.
And we're happy.
And we're happy, yes. Yes, very, very happy. So thank you. All right.
Thank you.
This is our show featuring us.